This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, May 5th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have an interview with the new director of the Ileana Healthcare Service Facility, the VA's hospital in Danville. We'll talk about the future of the facility and some of the challenges it'll face. We'll also get a forecast for the week from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. A measure barring county clerks from endorsing candidates in elections that they oversee now heads to the Illinois Senate after passage in the House last week. But as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, the measure faces opposition from the county clerks who would be affected.
House sponsor Dan Brady of Bloomington says Illinois judges are barred from endorsing candidates, and he wants the same ban for county clerks and other officials who oversee elections. But Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says the bill would only stifle free speech. Sheldon says Brady's bill would do nothing to actually prevent a county clerk from tampering with election results.
I don't think that there's anybody in Champaign County, for example, who thinks that my actions within my office are going to somehow be changed if I all of a sudden stop endorsing people for public office.
Brady concedes that county clerks as a group oppose any ban on their ability to endorse candidates, but he says some clerks would welcome it.
I have heard from some who say quietly, if you can take me out of the process where I can tell people who come to me asking for my endorsement, close friends, folks of the same party, whatever the case may be, that I can't do it, that'd be an okay change with me.
Brady says his bill would not bar clerks or election officials from expressing political views as private citizens. He says clarifying language may be added to the Senate version of the bill. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Police in Urbana want to know why a Champaign man was hit and killed by a passing pickup truck early yesterday morning. 35-year-old Joanne Edwards died along High Cross Road between Washington and Stone Creek. Police say he was walking in the roadway when the pickup hit him. They've not issued any citations. Attorneys for Tony Rezko are expected to start presenting their defense today, but that's not expected to take too long, as Robert Wildebor reports.
Prosecutors have spent weeks and weeks calling witnesses and presenting their case that Tony Rezko used his influence in Illinois government to control which companies would get business with the state. They say he used his control over state boards to extort bribes for himself, his business associates, and Governor Rod Blagojevich's campaign war chest. Defense attorneys now get a chance to present their case, but they will call only a few witnesses and should be done within a day, two tops. Defense attorneys don't actually have to prove anything. Rezko is innocent until proven guilty. They just have to make sure the government hasn't proven its case. They're hoping they raised enough doubts in jurors' minds when they tore into the government's witnesses. One of those witnesses, Stuart Levine, admitted to jurors that he was a drug-using con man. Defense attorney Joe Duffy also successfully tripped up Levine, often making him appear confused and unreliable. I'm Robert Wildebor.
Gasoline prices hit another record high last week. Oil companies also announced billions of dollars in first quarter net profits. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says the high gas prices are hurting the U.S. economy, and he wants to tax what he calls windfall profits on oil companies.
There comes a point when the profits have crossed the line, where in fact these profits are not only obscene, but they're destroying the economy. You cannot have a growing American economy with the current energy picture.
Durbin wants revenue from the tax to go to rebates for citizens and investments in alternative fuel sources, but he doesn't agree with a separate proposal to give people relief at the pump by suspending the federal gas tax. That idea is being discussed on the presidential campaign trail.
The gas tax holiday has surface appeal. It's a great political soundbite, but it isn't an energy policy.
Durbin is working with Democratic leaders to introduce the oil company windfall profit tax into Congress next week. After a weekend of near misses in Indiana, Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton finally crossed paths last night at the Democratic Party's Jefferson Jackson Day dinner in Indianapolis. Clinton used the occasion to push for a gas tax holiday while Obama criticized the idea. Clinton says she would make up lost revenue from the tax break by imposing a windfall profits tax on oil companies. Obama told the same audience in a separate appearance that oil companies would simply increase prices to fill the gap. The candidates nearly tripped over each other throughout the day yesterday. They stayed at Indianapolis hotels a block apart, greeted voters within miles of each other in Fort Wayne, and both made stops in the South Bend area. As the semester at the University of Illinois winds down, students are preparing to move out for the summer, but they often leave behind big piles of trash. City of Champaign officials have started to notify property owners when the garbage gets out of control. Property maintenance supervisor Susan Salzman says property owners are under a 48-hour deadline to remove the trash.
Anytime we see a dumpster that's overflowing and trash has hit the ground, that's the time when we have to do something about it. Quite frequently, the dumpsters don't have the capacity to deal with the amount of trash that's being disposed of. And so they require extra emptying and extra attention by the property owner.
Salzman says if owners don't comply, the city will remove the trash and send the bill to the owner, including an additional $100 fee. She says since the city started enforcing campus move-out cleanliness 3 years ago, only two owners have been fined. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The Veterans Administration hospital that serves central Illinois and western Indiana has a new leader, Michael Hamilton. I spoke to him about two issues that VA facilities all over the nation face, maintaining quality and preparing for an influx of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. Michael Hamilton himself is a military man, a Vietnam veteran who comes to Danville's Iliana healthcare system from northern Indiana. And he says Danville already has a structure in place to receive the area's latest war veterans, injured or not.
If a person comes in and have been in the battlefield and have had some mental or physical trauma, we can be able to refer them to the appropriate services and to be able to take care of those particular who have some post-traumatic stress syndromes that may have been developing or anything like that. We can try to take care of their needs. We have a suicide coordinator who is full-time on the road, and our whole staff. We have a number of people who are case managers who will track and follow the needs of these veterans when they come in place. Now, for those who have physical trauma, we will track them through various tests to see if they've had any kind of injuries that we need to follow. Generally, the acute trauma that could be polytrauma, which means many different types of injuries, are received by our Indianapolis hospitals. And then as they leave there, they will go to the secondary facilities, which would be like the Danville's facility here in Iliana.
So are you starting to see some of these patients already?
Yes.
How big of an impact overall do you think this is going to have on the Danville facility? What kind of preparations, you know, what kind of expansion, if needed, will have to be done?
Well, we've already added on a significant number of staff members that the agency has funded, and the different types of programs that's getting in place will be able to take care of the physical and mental needs. There's not going to be any special construction that's going to be going on, but we will be having special services that we will provide to them.
With the new generation of veterans and aging vets from earlier wars, the VA is at a stage where quality of care is being tested. Recent incidents are hurting the VA's image, particularly the discovery that a surgeon who had lost his license may have led to patient deaths at the Marion, Illinois Hospital. Mike Hamilton says ensuring decent care starts with keeping Danville's nearly 1,200 employees motivated.
With my experience of being at other facilities, my job would be to enhance the development of the employees. Now, that's just not coming from the senior management team, the executive management team only, but working with our union, the AFGE here, working with our employees, having such things in place so the employees will be empowered, if you will, to report directly to the executive management team here, things that might be going on that's not acceptable, and things that we're excited about that we want to report and let everybody share into it. If we have more people who are empowered to do the right thing the first time around, then we won't be going into a situation like we're going that may get out of hand, like it did down in at Marion.
Where do you see the Danville facility in the years ahead? Is this a facility that's going to grow? Do you expand services to
to other groups of veterans? And what about the possibility of waiting lists and having to deal with a large client base that may grow over time?
We do have capacity right now to take care of those veterans who are coming to the Danville facilities for medical and surgical needs. I don't see Danville at all growing into a tertiary level one hospital. But what I do see is that we've been approved for an additional community-based outpatient clinic in the Charleston-Mattoon area. And I do see us expanding into more of central Illinois area to provide access to care for veterans so that they don't have to travel all the way over to Danville. They can go to the local community-based outpatient clinic, and I see that growing more than anything.
A Mattoon-Charleston clinic would join outpatient VA facilities in Decatur, Peoria, Springfield, and West Lafayette, Indiana. Michael Hamilton will also oversee two new small houses on the Danville campus that will eventually house 10 aging vets apiece in a less institutional setting. Our Monday should be pretty nice around the two-state area. Maybe some cloudiness in the afternoon, but sunshine otherwise, and highs from near 70 in northern Indiana to 78 in southwest Illinois. 76 our forecast high in Champaign-Urbana. Tonight will be clear to partly cloudy with a few showers or sprinkles possible in northern Illinois after midnight, and lows ranging from 48 in northeast Indiana to 56 in southwest Illinois, the Champaign-Urbana low 52. For tomorrow, in Indiana, mostly sunny, in Illinois, partly sunny, with a chance of a shower or a few thunderstorms developing late in the afternoon, mainly in western and northern areas of Illinois. Highs tomorrow from 75 in the northwest to 82 degrees in far southern Indiana. Sunny and 80, the forecast for tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana. It'll be breezy, too. The forecast for Wednesday, though, mostly cloudy and breezy with a few showers and thunderstorms moving in, and Champaign-Urbana's high of around 73. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, May 5th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.